The Lord put a thought upon me last night. I'm going to be in 2 Samuel, the third chapter, if you want to go over there, starting with about the 32nd verse. You turn there in a minute, and I'll have you, whenever you get there, I'll have you stand here in a minute. But one of the things I want to tell you this morning, whenever we were on vacation, whenever we were down at Pensacola Beach down there last week, of course, we got ran out by Hurricane Michael. But anyway, as we were down there, a warning came over our phones. It said a hurricane warning, and you know, beware that you're going to be mandatory evacuations the next day and all this. So we go out, me and my wife, this is a day or so before, and we go out and we go down and we get some souvenirs. And why, you'll get the point of this whenever I tell you this, but whenever we go out and we're walking down, we go on this pier, and we go into this little shop on the pier, and there's this boy in there, and our phones all go off with the hurricane warnings, and we're standing there talking to him, and he said, what are you guys going to do? He said, we've heard this before. He said, we don't pay attention to this. We don't pay attention to it. That's what they said. So we went there a little bit. So we go to another store, and there's another girl in another store that says it's pretty much the same thing. As a matter of fact, they have a total disdain for the Weather Channel, by the way. If you were ever down there, they do not like the Weather Channel. I'll just be honest with you. And so we talked to both of them, and both of them said, you know what? We're not worried about this. We've heard it time after time after time. I'm here to tell you, the Lord's coming back one day. I'm here to tell you that you need to be born again. You may have heard that time after time after time, and you may have become deaf to hearing that. But I'm here to tell you, it doesn't change it. The Word of God is true. Amen? It is true. So heed the warnings. We go walking on the beach, and there's a gentleman on the beach, and we're talking to him. Him and his wife comes there every year with their family, and they have a family reunion there every year. They're from Texas. And we're talking to him a little bit. He said, oh, no, we're not going to leave. He said, because, you know what, we've already paid, we're already here, we're going to stay this, because, you know, just because we just don't want to leave, more or less what he said. I'm here to tell you, one of these days, you're not going to have a choice. You understand? One of these days, we will stand before a just and a righteous God one day. And whether or not you believe it or not, whether you believe the storm's coming, whether you believe he's coming, it is going to come one day. And I'm here to tell you, you are the one that's going to stand before God. It ain't going to be your mom, your dad, your neighbor, your preacher, nobody. You are the one that'll stand before a just and a righteous God one day. And as we were driving up the road, one more of these stories. We was on the radio, and we heard they were interviewing a man that was dead center of where this hurricane was going to hit. He's going to ride it out in his boat. He's going to take and moor his boat to the piers. And he said he'll be able to get outside and move the cables, and the boat will be able to ride it because it's a boat, it said. It should float. I'm here to tell you something else this morning. Don't think for a minute that you're going to do this thing on your own. You're not going to do this thing on your own. You're not going to be the one that's going to be able to make it right one day when you stand before God one day. You're going to have the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your life. The warnings are coming. The warnings are there, Patty. We've heard them for years. We've heard them for years. Go over and read in 2 Peter. I believe it's in 2 Peter where he talks about that. He said, everything's remained the same since the beginning. Everything's remained the same. I'm here to tell you, it's been over 2,000 years since our Lord and Savior died upon the cross. He said he's coming back one day. I believe he is coming back one day for a church, for a people that are bought by the blood. He's coming back one day. Can I tell you something else here this morning before I go any further with this? I don't care if you're young. I don't care if you're old. I don't care if you're in between. Jesus Christ said, whosoever will can come and know him as their Savior. It's not a fairy tale. I got to know him one day, Belinda. I'm here to tell you, I know that it's true. It's true. No matter what the world wants to say, no matter what they come up with for excuses, it is true. He lives within my heart. I don't have to see him, Greg. I know that he lives. because he has lived my heart all these years. Greg had mentioned something Wednesday night, and he's mentioned it here this morning. He said, do you know that you're saved? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior here this morning? I want to tell you something that is the most important question you will ever answer on anything that you ever do. It is the most important question that you will ever answer. I thought about this. I titled it this way, What Will Be Said at Your Funeral? Does this sound morbid to you? I hope not, because it's an important question. What will be said at your funeral? If you would, please stand and turn to 2 Samuel, beginning with the third, I'm going to the third chapter, beginning with the 32nd verse. Actually, let's back up to the 31st verse. 2 Samuel 3:31. And David said to Joab and to all the people that were with him, rend your clothes, gird you with sackcloth, and mourn before Abner. And King David himself followed the bearer. And they buried Abner in Hebron. I want you to pay attention to this. And the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. Now listen. And the king lamented over Abner and said, died Abner as a fool dieth. I want to read that again. And the king lamented over Abner and said, died Abner as a fool dieth. Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters. As a man falleth before the wicked men, so fellest thou. All the people wept over him again. And when all the people came to cause David to eat meat while it was yet day, David swear, saying, so do God to me, and more also, if I taste bread or aught else till the sun be down. And all the people took notice of it, and it pleased them, and whatsoever the king did pleased all the people. For all the people and all of Israel stood that day that it was not of the king to slay Abner, the son of Ner. And the king said unto the servants, know ye not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel? I want you to notice the 38th verse. And I want you to notice the 33rd verse. And you may think this is a contradiction here of what he's trying to say. But I'll get into it here in a little bit. And my question to you this morning as I get ready to pray, what will be said at your funeral one day? Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for all that you bestow upon us, and for all that your goodness and mercy and all that you've done for us, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity we have to stand here this morning. We ask you, Lord, to look into the hearts of those round about us here. We pray, Lord, you know their hearts. We don't know them, Lord, but you do, and you know where each and every one of us stand. And Father, we ask you, Lord, to deal with the ones that need dealt with this morning, whatever it may be. In Jesus' holy and precious name we ask. And amen. You may be seated, and thank you. Thank you. I want you to know, down through the years, I've done quite a few funerals down through the years. I've done quite a few. I've done funerals where I've celebrated the lives of a brother and sister in Christ who has went on. I've done those, and man, those are awesome to do. I think of Okie and Ruth, and I can go on and on. And the ones that I know stood for Jesus Christ, and I know where they're at. And I was around them for quite a few years, and I knew exactly what their lives did for them. And other churches, and I've been to funerals where I've been with, and the people that I've worshipped with down through the years. And beyond a shadow of a doubt, Sean, I knew that they were born again. I knew where they were at. I've known them. I've done funerals where maybe I didn't know the person quite so long, but I knew that they were born again and they were a Christian as well by the testimony of those around. I think of Rick whenever I think of that, Patty. I didn't know Rick all that long, but praise God, the people in here that knew him, the people that loved him, and the things you talk about and the spirit that I felt about it, you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that you know what? That he was born again. And one of these days, I'll get to know Rick better. Amen? Although I didn't know them personally, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that they were born again. Amen? And I knew them someday I'll see them in heaven. And I've been to funerals where I didn't know whether or not that person was saved or not. I've done funerals like that as well. I've done them. And you know what you can do? You can just stand there and you can say, so howsoever the tree falleth, that shall lie. That's what you get. I'm an old type preacher, Alita. And I'm sure your husband was like this too. I don't preach him into heaven and I don't preach him out of heaven. Amen? I don't do that. I'm not about to stand up there and do that. You know, I'm not going to lie and say what they are. I've been to funeral service before, Sean. When the preacher was talking about the person, the casket, I had to make sure it was who they were talking about. Man alive, you know, really? Really? That was that person? I'm not being funny. I'm here to tell you this morning, listen to me. What will be said at your funeral and at my funeral one day? We're living in a time when everybody goes to heaven. We're living it. Am I right? We live in a day and age where everybody goes to heaven. You know what? You could be shot in a bar fight, cheating on your wife, and killing somebody. And you know what? Then before you know it, they'll have you up there and they'll have wings on you and you're sprouted and you're on your way to heaven. I'm not that type of preacher. I don't preach them like that. You know what? I believe you need to know Jesus as your personal Savior, and I believe you need to know it and you need to live it. That's not what the Scripture portrays either. In Matthew 7:13-14, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow. I want you to, straight is the way, gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And this is what's really sad, and you need to mark it in your Bibles. Few there be that find it. Few that will find it. Another translation says it this way. But small is the gate, and narrow and difficult to travel is the path that leads to the way of everlasting life. And there will be few who find it. I'm here to tell you this morning, don't be fooled. That's why whenever Greg said that Wednesday night and then last night, it just come to me like this. Listen to me. All of us are not going to escape this world alive. Do you understand that? Death is on our trail. Unless the Lord comes back to take His church out of here, we all will stand, we'll all be laying in a casket one day, and somebody will be preaching a service, will be preaching a funeral over us someday. I'll tell you the truth, if my wish, my goal, I hope and pray that I never have to have another funeral over anybody in this church. Amen? I hope and pray that I never have to do another one. That would be ideal. You know, that would be ideal to me. But I know that that probably is not going to be the case. Listen, we're in the minority, not only in America, but in churches in America today that believe the way that I'm preaching to you this morning. We're in the minority. They believe. They listen to me. This is what I believe. You get right, you stay right, you live right, and you do right. That's what I believe. You don't preach that in a lot of churches now. You don't hear it in a lot of churches today. I don't believe. Now listen to me. Listen to me. I don't believe you can just come and bump the altar and just go live any way you want to. Amen? I don't believe you just come up here and bump the altar and just go live any way you want to live. The Bible doesn't teach it that way. And I believe that this church doesn't believe it's that way. If you go back to living the same way that you used to live, can I just be blunt with you? You didn't get saved to begin with. Amen? You're not comfortable. Listen, if you're not comfortable living the same way if you're not uncomfortable living the same way that you used to live, once you made that profession in Jesus Christ, I'm here to tell you this morning, you need to get a hold of something. Sean, the day that I got saved, He changed me from the inside out. I know that I believe that Jesus come into my heart one day. That He changed me, Alita. He changed me. I couldn't change myself. Do you know I tried? I tried to change myself. I had tried before I come to know Jesus myself. I remember being in school and I'd get up and say, I'm going to live right today. I'm going to live just exactly. I'm going to do right. I couldn't do it myself. But once I found Jesus, Sue, once I found what it meant to truly be born again, I'm telling you, you know what? He showed me the way. He had the Holy Spirit to guide and direct me. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. If you're uncomfortable living the same way you used to live, you need to get born again. Sooner or later, I'm going to die. I'll be honest with you. Sooner or later, I'm going to die. And someone's going to preach my funeral someday, Greg. Someone's going to do it. And what will they say at my funeral someday, Sean? What will they say? Will they say this? Will they say, you know what? Old Dave Long, he died a foolish man. Are they going to say that? Are they going to say, you know what? He was a faker. Are they going to say he was this? Or are you going to say he was that? I'm going to tell you what, when I'm laying there in that casket, I want them, this is nothing bragging on me, I want them to say that he knew the Lord, that he preached the Lord, that he did and he lived what he said. David stood over Abner, and I'll tell you what, David had guts. He said, you know what? He died a fool. Why did Abner die a fool? Did you ever think about that? On down in there, David kind of praised Abner. But why did Abner die a fool? It was the way that he was murdered. It didn't have to be. He left the protection of the city of Hebron. He left that protection. And he went there. And whenever he left that protection, you know what? That's whenever he got killed. Listen, I want to tell you something this morning. I want you to understand this morning. You may be thinking, you know what? That I don't need the church. I don't need the church people. I don't need this. Listen to me. When you get outside of the realm of this church, you listen, Satan can have his way with you. The truth be told, many funerals today, the preacher would have to say, a fool just died. We don't do it. No, we try to be as nice as we can. But you know what? If we were honest as preachers, I hate to say it, but if we were honest preachers, there's many a time we stand over top of people and we have no idea where they lay, where they're at, where their soul's at right now. How foolish is that? How foolish is that to die and go out of this world and not know whether or not you are born again or not? How foolish is that? It is very foolish. Whenever Jesus Christ, whenever God made every way possible for you and I to come to the, He made a way possible to where we could be with Him forever. He made that way possible. Listen, all the fellowship, all the support. I thought about this last night. I am totally blessed to be part of Drift Run Church this morning, to be part of this family of people. You want to know why? I've got several reasons, but let me give you a few of them. Because you guys got my back. I know that. I know that you've got my back. I know that if I need prayer, you folks will pray for me. I know that. I know this, that whenever I need support, whenever I need encouragement, that you folks will encourage me, that you will support me. I thought about that last night when I was writing down notes during the night. I said, praise God, I am thankful that I can come to a church like Drift Run and you people have got my back. Thank God that I'm in a sanctuary. I'm in the church to where I can feel like, you know what? Satan, get thee behind me. Amen. How about you this morning? Listen to me. Whenever I die one day and I am in that casket and I'm there and somebody's preaching that funeral, I don't know who it may be and I don't care, but I'm here to tell you, when they're preaching, I want them to say that he belonged to Drift Run Church and that he was a member there and that God blessed and used him there one day. All the fellowship, all the support, all the love that comes from being associated with you folks. Amen. There's nothing like it. Hebrews 10:25, and I know I say this a lot, but this scripture should ring true to everybody in here this morning. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. See that? But exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. That scripture should ring in our hearts. It should be something that we desire to do. I'll tell you what, I know there's people that are sick. I know there's people that work. And I know there's people that go on vacations. And God understands that. I'm not here to say that. But praise God, you know what? We need to be in God's house as much as we can possibly be. If nothing else, as Hebrews 10:25 says, so we can exhort one another. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Alita, did your husband ever have trouble coming up with sermons? There are times that, I mean, I'm preaching probably 3 or 4 sermons to you tonight, this morning. But I'm here to tell you, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that one day we will stand before just God. I'm glad, Greg, that you pray for me sometimes. I'm glad that, you know what, that when I'm in a battle, you'll fight for me sometimes. And guess what? I will you. I will you. I'm not going to throw you under the bus just because something happens in your life. I'm not going to throw you under the bus because, you know what? We have to draw all people. We have to love. We have to put that love there no matter what. And someone's going to wrap their arms around me or wrap their arms around you and tell you that they love you. When someone stands over my casket and preaches my sermon, that's what I want. You can rest assured that I made it home because of the love and the prayers and the support of you people one day. Amen? I hope and pray. You know what? I hope and pray in your obituary some point that it doesn't just say that you belong to Drift Run Church. Amen? I hope that you support Drift Run Church. I've seen many of them where they belong to this church, and where you go and talk to them, they say, well, they hadn't been here for years. Is that any way? I don't want it. Whenever I'm standing over a casket, whenever I'm standing over mine, I want them to know that I went to church and that I belonged in church, that I belonged to Drift Run, that I supported it. Not just because I wanted something in the paper, the obituary, to say that I belonged to such and such church. The people won't be scratching their head and thinking, well, I don't remember them ever coming. When was the last time they were here? Do you get what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? Oh, it was saying, you know, I want him to say that he loved with all his heart. And I want to say that with you. The truth of the matter is, if you cut the fellowship of your church out, you could die a fool. Amen? You could die a fool. Now let's look at another funeral. Let's look at the funeral of Judas. I wrote this down last night and I got thinking about this. Oh, by the way, I'm going back to that scripture that you read this morning, that we read in our books this morning. I didn't know it was in, that we were going to be teaching on this morning. He's the one that everyone trusted, right? He's the one that let them, he's the one, remember I told you, he's the one that handled the money for them? Remember Judas? Everyone trusted Judas. For all we know, the story, we all know the story where Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. We all know that story. He not only died a fool, he died a fake because everybody thought he was just A-OK. Amen? Can I be blunt with you? I want to be just absolutely blunt as I can be with you this morning. Listen to me. There's a lot of people that can fake. Amen? There's a bunch of people that can be fakes. They can. Judas, for 3.5 years, the Lord knew. I know the Lord knew. We know that. And the Lord knows your heart this morning as well. But there's people around. There are people around him that believe that he was A-OK, right on top of the world. Have you ever heard this? I knew people that whenever they went into their homes after they had died, they found out they were into so much filth it wasn't even funny. And nobody in the church, nobody around their family even knew it. They were fakes. I'm here to tell you this morning. I don't want to be standing. I don't want to be in a casket somewhere someday. And someone looking over it, and anybody have an ounce of doubt in their life about how I lived my life and what I was about. And I want to ask you this morning, are you that? I want you to be that way this morning too. I don't want no doubt. And whenever you leave this life, I don't want no doubt in your life. There shouldn't be 1 ounce of doubt. Does your family know you? Your family knows you. My wife knows who I am. I'm not going to. My daughter knows who I am. My son, my grandchildren know who I am. They know exactly who I am, what I stand for this morning. They can tell you what I believe and what I stand for this morning. I'm here to tell you. Listen to me. Can that be said of you? Can it be said of your family here this morning? Can it be said of anybody that you know? If you're standing, if you're laying in that casket one day, what will they say? The people that go by, will they be whispering, hey Sean, did you hear about that other guy? Man, that's right. That happens. That's exactly what happens. Because those people lived one thing and they did something else. We talked about it while the thing was winding up about hypocrites, did we not? Yes, we did. They're play acting. I'm here to tell you, Judas was one of them. Remember, this is something I didn't realize. They took out 30 pieces of silver and bought the potter's field. Did you know that? I'm just telling you, I'm just throwing something out there. They said that Judas was the first grave that was buried in the potter's field because they had just bought it. I didn't even think about that. I'm just here to tell you, I don't want to die a fake. I don't want to die that way. And I'll tell you about another one too. Remember the thief that was hung on the right side of Jesus Christ? He was a thief. He died for what he had done. Do you realize that there are people that's going to look bad on some people because of their lifestyle in the past? But you know, it doesn't make any difference. Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Amen. Amen. Don't let this world make it out like, you know what, you don't deserve. Don't let it make it out like you cannot be saved. I'm here this morning to tell you that Jesus can save to the uttermost. He saved that thief on the cross. You know what? I can just hear him after he took that thief down. Can you not hear the people going by? I'm just going to have a little bit of leeway here. They're going by his casket, whatever he was on. They're saying, man, he was a thief. He got just exactly what he deserved. And you know what? I'm saying, praise the Lord, he got just exactly what he deserved. Because he got to know Jesus as his Savior. But you know what? I'm sure the people went by and said, you know what, he got just exactly, he was a thief. They should have done worse to him. They should have done this and that. But praise God, Jesus Christ himself. Another thing, this is what I'm going to finish up on this morning. We talked about Cain and Abel this morning. Remember he said his blood cried? Can I ask you something? Once you're long dead and gone, is your blood still going to cry out? Are you going to still cry out to those people that you left behind? Are they going to still say, you know what, I remember Aaliyah. I remember what she was like. I remember she was a Christian lady. How about you, Lucinda? They're going to say that one day? They're going to say that to you one day. I know that, Lucinda. She lived what she said she's going to live. That's how your blood cries out. That's how it cries out after you're gone. That's how after you're gone, dead and gone, you leave that legacy. One of these days, you know what? They're going to be talking about Patty just like they talk about the other people that have passed on from this church years ago. And they're going to be talking about Greg that way. And they're going to be talking about all the people here that way that have lived their lives right to the day. When they stand in those caskets, when they're in those caskets and they're gone, they're going to still be talking to people when they go out to the graveyards. I go out to the graveyards. I go by her dad's graveyard all the time. He still talks to me. I know what his life was like. Amen. I know what Haver Gribble's life was like. He still talks to me, Steph. I know what Denzel does. He still talks to me. I could go on and on and on. Those people still ring in my ear, and they still tell me how that it should be and what it should be. And praise God, what they said at their graves and at their caskets, I want to be able to be said about me someday. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me close with this. Just a heartfelt, let me ask you. If you're here this morning, and you're not sure what they're going to be saying on the day that you're laying in that casket, come up here and be sure this morning. Jesus Christ opened up the way. He opened up the way. He made a way that you and I can be sure beyond a shadow of a doubt when we close our eyes in death, we will wake up in glory one day. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome to know that you know? telling you, God loves you. He does. He loves you beyond measure. You know what? Just because you stand in the middle of a garage doesn't make you a car. Just because you come to church doesn't make you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is Jesus Christ living in your heart. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ overflowing you. The Spirit of God dwelling in you. Going with you, knowing that, and as you walk, it teaches you as you walk. That's what makes you a Christian. That's where you know beyond a shadow of a doubt. That's where you can say, praise God, come whatever may. Because I know where I'll be one day. They come and get a song.